And I thank you for your prayers this evening. I feel very needy. Suppose that's a real good place to be. The Lord's able to work in conditions like that. Oh, the Lord loves to find needy people. He takes pleasure in helping them. You know, if he was here, and I believe he is, but if you could see him looking over the crowd tonight, I believe there's somehow he could communicate to every heart that's here tonight that he absolutely loves you. And he wants to help us. Notice I didn't just say he wants to help you. I said he wants to help us because he wants to help me too. Oh, we've got such a wonderful Father in heaven that he looks on his dear children and he cares about the things that you struggle with. He cares about your future. He cares about the hurts in your past. He cares about what you're dealing with today. And he's interested in taking what we give him, and he wants us to give him his all. He wants us to give him our all. And he's interested in taking that and shaping it and molding it and creating something real beautiful in your future. I know it can almost be a cliche for us to hear that the Lord has a plan for your life, but he does. And he says, the scripture tells us that the Lord said, I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Not of evil. He has an expected end he wants to bring us to. He has a purpose for our life. A direction to take us. And that should be gospel enough right there for the world. Because we are at a time when there's so much disconnection in this world. There's so much chaos. There's so much sense and especially in the young folks today, the devil seems to have given them a sense of no purpose. The devil's trying to steal that from it. And with that, hope begins to be diminished. And the Lord wants to give real clear direction in people's lives. Have you ever seen huge structures and wondered how they were built? I've marveled at some things. I've never had the chance to see the Great Pyramids. But I don't know how they built that. Oh, there's been a whole lot of hypothesis, a whole lot of theories given how they were able to move those big blocks. But I don't care what you come up with. It took a tremendous amount of effort. It took purpose. It didn't happen by accident. When I saw a structure live I live in Kansas and close to the Oklahoma border, and I spent a lot of time down in Oklahoma, and there's some little towns off down there that were built, a lot of sandstone buildings. And some of those structures were, it was beautiful. Some of what they did, some pretty large sandstone blocks. I went to this little town, and I just stopped at this one building and looked. Three stories, sandstone blocks, and these weren't little blocks like this. These were big blocks. And somebody got them clear up there, three stories high, and one arch, it was a two-story arch, had a keystone on the top, and I thought, how did they do that? They didn't do it by accident. They put purpose into it and thought. I would like for us to turn over into the book of Jeremiah. And I want to tell you today that the Lord has purpose and thought that he has toward you. And he wants to build something beautiful in your life. And what did I say Jeremiah? Okay, I was hoping I didn't say Isaiah. In Jeremiah the 18th chapter, we have here an account where there were some people that the Lord loved. And that's nation, that's worldwide today. The Lord loves all. Yeah, says it's not His will that any should perish. That's how the Lord sees this. It's not His will that any should perish. And here was a case of people He had His affection set on, and somehow they had gotten sideways and they had forgotten their love for the Lord and begun their that had waned in their life, and they had begun to get sidetracked and got away from the Lord. And the Lord looked at them and He said, I want you back. Yeah. Now, I've lived long enough in this way to know, and I have seen many a shipwreck. I've seen many a person start out well. And I've seen many a person along the course of life. One thing or another, or something is entered in, or sometimes it was just a slow cooling off. But things began to enter into their life. And at some point, they completely gave up. And I have seen total shipwreck. I have seen devastation in people's lives. And I have wondered at the devastation and looked at it and thought, is there a remedy for this? And I will tell you that I'm confident today there is a remedy. Amen. Not only because I have seen it happen in other people's lives, but I myself experienced the remedy. And I'm going to tell you this from firsthand experience. There is a God who cares for your twisted heart and your twisted mind. And He looks on you with purpose. There's a reason why Jesus went to the cross. He went there because He loved. And I will tell you tonight, I know you've heard it 1,000 times probably, but it wasn't nails that held Him there. It was a joy that was set before Him, and that joy was when He looked on people like you and I that He could change and set right. And give them hope and give them a future. And He began to build structures that when I see what God does in people's lives, I sit there and marvel and say, how did that happen? Well, it happened because there was a God who purposed to happen for that to happen in your life. He wanted you to be saved. He wanted to change your life. Well, in this case, in Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, God was interested in these people, and so He talked to His prophet, Jeremiah, and said, I want to give you an object lesson, and I want you to be able to take that and tell it to the people that I'm interested in. He said, I want you, and you can go ahead and read down here. He said, I want you to go down to the potter's house. You know what the potter's, what he's doing? He's not just sitting there twiddling his thumbs. He's doing something. Went down to the potter's house and he had a lump of clay. And he was busy molding and shaping that lump of clay. I believe that the potter had purpose what he was doing. He was making a vessel. He wasn't just playing with Play-Doh. Like sometimes. He had purpose. He was wanting to make a vessel that was useful. It wasn't by accident that what this is what he wanted to do. He had that clay in his hand, and in his mind, he probably thought, I want to make this. I don't know what all it could have been. A pitcher? A cup? A bowl? Perhaps when he got through, he wanted this to be something that was not only useful, but beautiful to the eye. Appealing. And he started working on that. And as Jeremiah watched him work, something began to happen and it all fell apart in the potter's hands. We heard it's called marred in his hands. That's what it said. Marred in the potter's hands. Well, what do you think the potter did? Did he say, all right, I'm done? Is that what he said? He said he took the same lump of clay, put it all back together and begin to work some more on it. This is a hope I want to give you tonight. You know, Brother Marty already preached us a wonderful little message here this evening, and I want to tell you all I say a hearty amen to what he said this evening. And they won't call it a message, but I will tell you it was a wonderful message of hope to all of us. Also an exhortation that you and I would be very careful with our lives. Not only very careful, but be willing to give your all to the Lord and launch out into things, Lord. Don't hold back on Him. There is something the Lord wants to do with you if you can get your lump of clay in His hands.
That's right.
And along the path of life, in my own experience, as I gave myself to the Lord, there are going to be some places as you walk with the Lord, and as you walk and He begins to shape you, there's going to be some times, more than likely, that you won't always feel like you did things perfectly. And you may even feel like that you have become a failure. Perhaps you marred. You feel like you marred. And sometimes people do mar. But I want to tell you tonight, young people, especially in your walk in the future, I want every one of you to make heaven. Oh, not just the young folks, every face that's in here this evening. I want you to make heaven. And that's not just me talking. I want to tell you, God wants you to make heaven. And He's willing to take a marred individual. I want you to know that when you mar, it's not the end. The potter didn't quit. And God specifically sent Jeremiah down to see this act, because He wanted Jeremiah to know that this was His heart toward these individuals. God wanted them to know that I still care about you. I want to do something with you. I'm not done. If you'll just come back to me,
amen,
I will take what you give me and I'll start working again. The same clay, the same lump of clay, begin to work some more in it. Seventh verse says, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation. This is God saying this now. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy it. In other words, God has said, saying here to Jeremiah, there are times that I will, out of my mercy, tell people or tell a nation that judgment is on your way. Isn't that what happened? Remember with Jonah and Nineveh. Remember that case. Why did God send Jonah down there to Nineveh to give that message? Was it because He hated them?
No, He loved them.
And He gave them that message, hoping all the while they would hear and turn. And thank God they did. And I believe God rejoiced when He saw them humbling down. At what instant, He said, I am watching to see the reaction. I am waiting and hoping that they will react rightly. He said, at what instant I make a decree and say the judgment is headed your way, if that nation, eighth verse, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And then let's jump on down here again. He talks about a nation that perhaps was doing well, but then they started cooling off and started leaving off the fervency for the Lord. And He said, I have maybe said, I will bless them, but if they start leaving me, there's a curse that comes along with that. We also need to know that part of this scripture. May God help us to know that there is a hope, though, that God is looking at all of us here tonight with a great hope, and hoping that wherever we are on our road of life, and perhaps tonight you don't even need this message for where you are tonight, but maybe down the road in the future. I've lived, again, long enough to see many an individual go through episodes or places in their life where there was a marring happen. I want you not to get discouraged when that happens. I want you to pick your lump back up and put it back, purposefully, put it back in the hands of the potter and say, Lord, I need some help. And He is waiting. He says, what instant they turn, what instant, if they'll come back, If that nation against whom I have pronounced return from their evil, I will repent. I will take that lump back.
Amen.
Now, he gives this counsel. He said, return, down in the latter part of the 11th verse. It says, return ye now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, oh, what a terrible response. They said, there's no hope. You know, they were wrong. They were wrong because God Himself was purposefully, intentionally, personally offering them hope. And they said, no, I want to tell you today, I don't know where you are. Perhaps at some point in your life, you're going to come to a place where you feel like there's no hope. That's not so. There is hope. Because God offers you hope. And He wants to take what you have. Now, I want to give an example of what the Lord can do. Maybe you feel, sometimes might feel like that you have went so, I know that's what happened to me in my young life, that I came to a place that I felt like I had went to a place, went so far that the Lord didn't want me anymore. The devil was telling me that. He was trying to say that there's no hope. And He'll do that for you. Believe me, I know He will. And I was only 17 years old at that time, and the devil was telling me that you're done. And really, pretty well had me convinced of that. I remember when I came down to the altar for them to pray for me, and I was earnestly seeking. And one of the ministers asked me, do you believe the Lord can save you? And I said, I can't. I'm sorry. Please pray for that. And that's what they specifically prayed for, that the Lord would help me, would heal my faith. Because I needed that. I said, pray for my faith, my unbelief. I want to tell you, the Lord did something miraculously that evening. Yeah, very personally. It was tremendous. And He let me know that He didn't want me personally. He wanted me. Oh, it was fantastic that evening. I step aside here for just a little bit. But I really want you to know there's hope. And this part, I want to share some of this story with you to let you know that God cares and He loves and He's able to save to the uttermost. While they were praying for me, and I can still take you within just a couple feet of where this happened over at the Monarch Campground. I sat there recently after they tore the old structure down, and my family was with me. And they said, Daddy, what? Tell us about that time. And I went over there and sat down right next to that spot. And I said, it was right here. And I began to tell them what happened. And I said, it was right here where, as they began to lay their hands on me and pray that the Lord would increase my faith or help me to believe that I could be saved. And I remember very well how the sound began to just fade out. And I'm not going to tell you this to try to tell that that's what is always going to happen. Don't compare your experience with mine. This is what the Lord did for me because I needed it that night. And there, the sound began to fade out, and I was led into the realm of the spiritual battle that was going on. And there were sounds there that it was different than what these ears couldn't really hear. But I can only describe it as kind of a growling gruffness of the one force that, and then there was another force came. It was exceedingly powerful. And this one with a growl shrank back because he said, this one's mine. That's what I heard. And I was saved right then. Thank you, Brother Carl. And I'm telling you that not to be dramatic, but to let you know I did something tremendous for me that night. And I have not been the same since, because there is a God who saves. There is a God who takes people with twisted minds with damaged individuals. And he goes to work. If he could just allow, if we can just allow this lump of clay to get in his hands, he says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And he invites us sweetly, take his yoke upon us and learn of him. Because as we do that, we'll find that his yoke is easy and his burden is truly light. There was an individual over here in the book of Mark that I'd like to share with you. And I suppose we have all heard this account. It's not a new account in any way. You've all heard the account of Legion. Book of Mark, the 5th chapter. But I share it with you to let you give you another example of what God can do. This man, again, God himself in a condition. This is the 5th chapter of Mark. This man got himself in such a condition that he lived in the tombs. And it appears as though living in the tombs, he didn't have clothes on. He cut himself. People tried to help him simply by inhuman forces. Surely people would care for him. Perhaps his family looked on the situation and tried to reach out. And they would, in an attempt to try to help and protect him, they would put chains on his to try to keep him. You wouldn't want to see a loved one cutting themselves. You would hurt for him, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you? We look at a situation. Where is he living? Oh, he's living over there in the graveyard. Living among the tombs. I believe it was a heartache to people that watched him. I don't think he started out living in the graveyard. I think at one point this was could have well been a little baby that a mother and daddy loved. Perhaps he began to grow up and maybe they had hopes for this child. Perhaps he was a firstborn and the father had a lot of hope for this. Maybe they spoiled it. I don't know what all the ingredients went into this. But somewhere he took some steps where he gave himself wholly over to wrong influences. And Brother Marty talked about the world and the devil bidding high for our souls. I want to tell you, he really is. And he doesn't come with a pitchfork in his hand and red horns on his head. He will come in terms that makes us feel like and believe that what we are about to do is a fruit that to make one wise and will taste good. He will wrap it in all kinds of personal pleasure, and surely this is the right thing to do. Yeah. And that's what he'll do today. I believe that's what he did to Legion, to lead him to the place where he made a mockery out of him. And the devil will do that to us today. Why do you think much of the world out there is going with less and less clothes? Doesn't it make a mockery of them? It does. It's a shame. That's what the devil does. It's an unclean spirit. Legion had followed a path, and we can only suppose a path, but the path led him to the place where he was completely overcome with the foul, evil spirits. And he lived only in a dead place, in the tombs, cutting himself. But there was a day that one who cared about him, I believe Jesus, when he said, let's go across over there, I believe he knew where he was going. I don't think it was by accident that he landed next to this man. And it's not by accident that the Lord comes by and talks to our hearts. Oh, it's not by accident that sometimes in the middle of the night the Lord comes by and begins to make us, we begin to realize how miserable we are. And his steps there and says, son, give me your heart. It's not by accident that his conviction falls on our hearts. Sometimes by dreams. I remember when I was young, I once in a while would have dreams of perhaps eternity. You ever had any of those dreams? Or does anybody have those anymore? You ever? I trust the Lord still deals with people in such fashion. We have these dreams, and perhaps the Lord, the Lord's trying to let us know, I'm here and I want to help you bring conviction in our hearts. Well, this man was in trouble. And here came Jesus across there. And we'll pick up here in the 6th verse now of the 5th chapter of Mark. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. It's kind of a strange scene. This individual, I wonder why he ran and worshipped him. You know, I imagine he had a deep conflict of all these emotions that he was dealing with. But perhaps there was hope that he saw coming his way. And at the same time as he ran to worship him, all these other influences began to come out too. And Jesus rebuked those other influences. Who are you? Well, I think Jesus knew who they were. But sometimes, did you know the Lord would like for you and I to admit who we are? It's not for His knowing, because He already knows. It's for our good. When we come to the place that we admit, again, my neighbor just recently, when I went to visit with him, again, he's an alcoholic. His family has left him. His wife divorced him a number of years ago. Some of his boys who would drink with him, they have come to the place that they realize it's terrible. It's destroying our lives too. They've turned around. But this one is there by himself. His phone was shut off. His electricity was shut off. He'd run out of food in his house. And I found that I didn't recognize that was happening until just recently. The extent of it anyway. And so I said, I've got to go see him. And I went over there and I went knocking around on the doors and I heard something in there. And I knocked for probably at least 5 minutes going around hollering for him because I was afraid. I wondered where he was. I was afraid he may have gotten to a case that, you know, the devil will try to destroy people. And I wanted him to know I care for you. It really touched him to know that I cared. But in our conversation, I approached him and I said, you're an alcoholic, aren't you? And his response was, no, not me. I'm not an alcoholic. You know, the Lord wants us to admit who we are. That's one of the greatest first steps. What's your name? Remember what Jacob had to... He came to a place when he was wrestling with the angel. Angel said, who are you? What's your name? And he said, I'm Deceiver. It's my name. I was born that way and I'm still struggling with it. But he found himself in the grasp of one who cared. And that's where Legion found himself now. He came and worshipped and Jesus was addressing his issues. He said, who are you? Well, we're Legion because we're many. And Jesus began to deal directly with the issue. And I want you to notice, there's a number of things we can notice as we go through the story. But you remember they said, don't let us go over in that herd of swine. And I was listening to Brother Marty give some discourse on this a while back, and he noted, and I'll note it to you this evening, that you notice what happened to the herd of swine as soon as what the devil's got in them? Destruction. That is the nature of sin. And you can be assured tonight, if you're willing to go down a path of sin, the only result you can expect is shipwreck and destruction. Well, the Lord loves to find shipwrecks. And he found this man. He didn't leave him a shipwreck. He didn't leave him in this place of destruction. When he delivered this man, notice what happened to him. Let's turn over down into the 15th verse. And they came to Jesus. This is a lot of the townspeople began to, because all this happened to the herd of swine. The townspeople came out there to see what was going on. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. They saw him sitting. Notice what he was doing. You know, one of the things the devil likes to do is to make people completely uncontented. They can't even sit. Can't even enjoy a moment. There's an agitation that's going on in this world today that you always got to drive to some new excitement. I want to tell you, God has a satisfying portion for your soul this evening. God has something that will outshine all the excitements of the world. And we can sit there and be satisfied. And we can purpose in our heart to be satisfied with it. And to turn our hearts and minds away from the things of the world. And be satisfied in Christ. This man was abundantly satisfied. He was sitting right there at Jesus' feet. And notice what else happened. He was clothed. Notice this. The shame of our nakedness. All that we used to be. All the ways that you know, it's an ugly thing when we live our life in deception. If I lie to you, it's hard for you to respect me. When we begin to live in dishonesty, when we can't trust one another, it's a terrible thing. And the Lord wants to take that part of people and clothe that part that stands out ugly. It's naked. And He likes to take that part of us and clothe it with righteousness. Change that part completely around and set us on a right path. This man was at a place where he could be satisfied, sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed, and it said, in his right mind. Oh, thank the Lord. You know, recently there was an older couple that got saved. I'm so thrilled for that. I didn't even realize they'd gotten saved there at Monarch. But I think he's 78 or so, and she's not very far behind him. I wish they'd have done it a long time ago. But I'm glad they got saved. And after a while, I got a telephone call, and they said, we would really like to be baptized. Is it okay? Of course. Let's baptize. So we had a sweet, wonderful baptism recently. Oh, it's precious to see that. And then recently, have a cousin, 71 years old. And all these years, there's many good qualities about this man. He'd been a good man in many ways, but he wasn't saved. And he got saved. I'm telling you, the things now that's coming out of this man, he's different. Isn't that what the Lord does? He clothes us in a right mind. We find ourselves sitting, drinking at his feet, clothed and in our right mind. He'll text me every once in a while and just let me know how glad he is to be saved. And I just rejoice, and there's been many times tears have rolled down my face thinking that's what the Lord does. It wasn't that long ago, and I don't like always just naming out people, but I was looking at a man that the devil stole much from him. And he had been addicted to substances. It had controlled much of his life. And I saw him. It seemed like his thinking was all twisted. He couldn't think straight. And I And I went away from one time observing him, and I went home and I thought, Lord, I don't know if he'll ever make it. That was me. And we were praying for him. One time we were earnestly praying for him in the home congregation there, and his mother was, she said, it's high time. And I looked at her and I said, yes, it's high time. But when I said that, my faith didn't grasp the fact that it could really happen. I hoped, I wished, but I thought, oh, Lord, that's way out there. Somehow it's mine. But you know, God can save to the uttermost. And he can take minds that have been damaged. And you know that man sitting here this evening? And I rejoice in what God does.
Amen.
And that's only one of many stories that can be told. Because God is asking for our lumps of clay. Wherever we are tonight, he wants us just to give it to him. And allow him to take us where we are, who we are. If we have twistedness, and we don't know what tomorrow could hold, I want you to know that the Lord wants it. He just says, give me. I want you to be my child. I want to save you. I want to clean you up. I want to make everything new. And the scripture tells us this, that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I want you to know that this story about Legion isn't just an old story. It's real, and the power that changed Legion did not stop 2,000 years ago. Because he changed me, and he's changed other people just recently. And Brother Phillips sits right back here tonight because God saved him. And many of us sit here tonight because we can look back and see that God changes lives. And with purpose tonight, he looks over a congregation just like us and looks us in the face and says, I love you. I gave my life that you might be saved.
That's right.
And I want to take you. And if sometime we find ourselves in the future, that it feels like the devil has got us all confused in a place that we are marred, I just want to tell you, bring that lump of clay back to the master. And say, make me. Because he loves that. I will reference real quickly. Remember the Ezekiel saw a valley of bones that were very dry. They were not only dead, they had been long dead. Been bleached in the sun, and not only had they been that way, they had been so disconnected and scattered, it looked like it was such a jumble. And the Lord came and said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And the case was so seemingly hopeless that his answer, Ezekiel's answer was, Lord, thou knowest. Surely the Lord does know. And he said, I want you to prophesy to these folks. You know, some of the greatest prophecy is not messages behind this pulpit, but it's as we genuinely reach out and touch people with God's love. Prophesy to these folks. We can't put the bones together, but as we prophesy, you know what happens? Things begin to move.
Amen.
The love of God gets communicated to them. And they begin to start fitting back together. Families begin to... There's some healing happens in people's lives. Hope again begins to revive. And as the warming of God's love begins to touch people, sinews begin to grow. Start not only fit together, but then they begin to stand up. Pretty soon there are a brother And we're a whole army together going out. Try to tell more people about the love of God. And I want to encourage us tonight. I don't know where we are tonight. Perhaps I'm preaching to a whole congregation. Every one of you know the Lord. I hope that's so. But perhaps, maybe that's not the case tonight. I want to encourage you. If you find yourself tonight and your lump of clay is all marred and twisted and you think surely nothing can happen to this, I want to ask you to bring your lump of clay to the Lord. He's a master potter. And He knows how to take your twisted life, your twisted mind, and sometimes hopeless feelings, and He can begin to set everything right, begin to shape your life, and give you hope. Pray for me. I want to serve the Lord.